Welcome to Endoscopy Insights, a podcast devoted to conversations with thought leaders in flexible and single-use endoscopy. In each episode, we'll explore the ways different clinical and technological innovations are moving the field of endoscopy forward. Endoscopy Insights is brought to you by SingleUseEndoscopy.com, a learning center by AMBU USA. AMBU is the single-use endoscopy leader, creating the world's first single-use endoscope in 2009 and has been bringing the healthcare solutions of the future to life since 1937. And now, here's your host, single-use endoscopy editor, Rob Terry.
A major flood last summer forced a Michigan urology clinic to close, but urologists with Henry Ford Health System were able to continue performing cystoscopies for their patients elsewhere, thanks to a new single-use cystoscopy technology. Dr. Craig Rogers is here to explain how. Dr. Rogers specializes in robotic surgery for kidney cancer, prostate cancer, adrenal tumors, and other conditions, and he performs robotic surgery for blockages of the ureter. His research focuses on improving robotic surgical techniques for kidney cancer and identifying and utilizing biomarkers and genes for the diagnosis, prognosis, and treatment of kidney and prostate cancer. When that storm dumped between 3 and 5 inches of rain in the Detroit metro area one June day, Rogers and his colleagues were forced to stop on a dime, quickly pivot, and take all of their patients coming in for clinic appointments and procedures and move them to a downtown Detroit campus. AMBU's A-scope for cysto and the ability to eliminate reprocessing and gain other workflow efficiencies was a salvation. Dr. Rogers is an AMBU consultant. Dr. Rogers, welcome to Endoscopy Insights.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So let's talk about June 26th of last year, 2021. What was life like for you and your practice that morning, and how had it changed by the end of the day?
Well, a historic event happened in Southeast Michigan that day. A huge storm with almost 8 inches of rain in nearly 7 to 8 hours, completely overwhelming the sewer system, drainage, pump systems, and Southeast Michigan in the Detroit area, especially in the city of Dearborn. We saw power outages, thousands of cars abandoned on highways because of flooding, thousands of homes flooded, basements flooded, including our clinic that was at the Henry Ford Fairlane Medical Center in Dearborn. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that morning, when our staff came to work, they saw that the clinic was flooded, wet floors, furniture, supplies, all had to be stacked up because of the flooding. It became clear that this space was unusable. We would not be able to use it for a long time. And keep in mind, we were just coming off a third surge of COVID. We were just in the process of getting ready to ramp back up with office visits and procedures. And now we had another crisis on our hands.
Wow. Physicians
had to be notified that their clinic would have to be moved to a different location. We had patients set up to get procedures at that site all month. They had to go somewhere else. So we had a problem that had to be fixed. We had to find a way to get these patients taken care of and to keep this team together.
Let's take a quick step back, if we could, to June 25th. What would you paint a picture of what a typical day in your life was like before the terrible flood?
Yeah. So at that particular site, this was a typical outpatient urology clinic that would see general urology patients, and there were several providers that would work out of that site. And they would do procedures ranging from cystoscopy to prostate biopsies. Mm-hmm. And they also could do minor surgeries there as well. So what we might see in a typical urology office with a variety of patients coming in throughout the day, getting consultations and procedures.
About how many patients, how many procedures? Can you ballpark it?
We might do, half a dozen or more. Gotcha. Procedures there a day, throughout the day, whether it's cystoscopies and biopsies. And a typical provider might see, now numbers had to go down with staffing with COVID, but, mm-hmm. A typical provider might see in the mid 20s, 20 to 25 patients a day, sprinkled in with, you know, 2 to 3 procedures in the morning and again in the afternoon.
So clearly a historic weather event like you described is more than a minor bump in the road. What was the damage? What was the damage to the clinic? And what were you thinking at that moment about how you were going to treat patients?
Well, so the main damage to the to our clinic space there was the carpet and the drywall. And because of that, we knew it was going to all have to be torn out and replaced. You can't just flip a switch on that. That's not a, and it had to be dried out, ripped out, and put in. So we were looking at, we knew up to a few months of downtime at that site, you know, maybe at least 6 weeks.
Wow.
We knew we couldn't see patients in that state, and we had to figure out how to continue patient care with minimal delays.
Yeah, I'm guessing this is not the kind of situation covered in medical school.
No, it's not. No, this was a new one. Curveball.
So how did you and your colleagues decide, here's how we need to triage this situation? And were single-use cystoscopes top of mind at this point?
Well, so yes, it was. In terms of triaging, we knew we were going to have to move those patients and that staff to another site. So we moved them to our downtown campus in Detroit, but we knew we didn't have the bandwidth to just absorb all of those patients in terms of procedures especially, because they're scheduled almost like an operating room, right? You have a fixed number of rooms and you have equipment and staffing that can process those scopes. And how were we going to immediately absorb in one place and do the processing? So we knew that the single use, AMBU scopes were going to be a lifesaver for us in order to maintain that procedure volume. Mm-hmm. And this is something we'd already been doing. So so this was just going to take it to a whole new level to keep those volumes going.
Yeah, you had already, as you noted, you had already started transitioning to single-use cystoscopes. What had spurred that shift initially?
So two things. One, our department was expanding. Our whole health system was expanding from a traditional sort of a main campus and one satellite campus to now many different ambulatory centers with clinics and operating rooms, so half a dozen. And as a new chair, I was tasked with operationalizing that and getting staff and equipment running at these sites so we could offer the same care. And when you're looking at that administratively or logistically, you have capital purchases. Like, are you going to buy just reusable scopes and towers and processing? How are you going to do reprocessing? You know, it becomes a nightmare doing this at all these different sites. So so reusable scopes were definitely made this a smooth transition for us, that we could buy a monitor, reusable scopes. It was easy. We didn't have to have processing on site. And then COVID hit. That was a whole nother thing where all of a sudden there was an appetite for, even from patients, about they liked the idea of a disposable scope, that it had only been used on them. This idea of infection control became palatable with patients, where they wanted that. And staffing issues. We didn't have the staff during, while people were out, to do processing. You know, we would have a medical assistant offline, just their job was just to reprocess scopes. Well, what if we don't have that staffing available? So this was a way, with limited staff, limited capital, we could maintain our productivity and even have an appearance, but a satisfaction from those patients that, for them, that we're reducing infection risk and saving costs.
Had you had patients ask about infection issues prior to COVID?
So it was interesting, because as we started transitioning to the disposable scopes, you'd have patients that had been coming in maybe once a year, every 6 months, for their routine cystoscopy. And they would ask, they'd say, well, what is this? I haven't seen this before. And so I would explain it to them. I'd put it up and show it to them and show, hey, this is a new technology. It's disposable. And say, because it's one-time use, we don't need to worry about the mechanical malfunctions of, you know, if fibers break or you have to go get it fixed, and it's never been used in another patient before. And you could kind of see their eyes light up. Oh, okay. They'd nod and they like that. I didn't expect that. I just figured I had to explain why they were seeing a different scope, but it was kind of eye-opening when I explained it to them to see that they liked that.
I understand. You mentioned staffing shortages, even separate from the flood. It sounds like you had already been grappling with that. Can you talk a bit more about that?
Yeah. So this is where I was talking about this, with staffing with COVID, where if there weren't enough staff, we couldn't have a medical assistant running back and forth to process these scopes, especially at other sites as well. Mm-hmm. So once staffing became an issue, even irrespective of the flood, we knew we had to change the way we were thinking about our practice, and that we had to kind of shift this pendulum towards disposables. And it kind of fits the whole, just on a system level, if you go with the way the system is, there had been more about doing more disposables just with regulations, JCO processing, et cetera. It just made that whole process cleaner, easier for us.
Yeah. We've touched on COVID a couple times here. And as we're having this conversation, we're hearing and reading about this Omicron variant and the impact that is having on our healthcare system and staffing shortages as well. Do you see I'm going to guess that you see a role for single use endoscopy in combating that during this unfortunate wave.
Yeah. I mean, it irrespective of what the crisis is, you know, whether it's a COVID, a flood, just staffing, somebody called in that day and they can't come. This allowed us to be more nimble and to address those challenges. I mean, there were times where I might not, you know, maybe I don't need the person that helps me day to day that I'm used to, that knows how to set up my room. I could do this myself. And in fact, there were times that we did it ourselves when we're on call, when our residents go into the hospital to do a cystoscopy. They used to go to the clinic and take the cystoscope and they'd use it. And now it has to go back to the clinic and somebody discovers that the next morning and they have to clean it. Maybe that throws your whole clinic out of the loop. So at training sites, you know, our trainees or the staff, we could just grab a disposable scope, use it, you know, then you're done with it. It doesn't disrupt the clinic flow. And you can be self-sustaining. I could set it up myself if I had to. So it, you know, it made it very easy with limited staffing.
Interesting. So back to the clinic that you had to quickly stand up, what was the day-to-day like at this new space?
Yeah, so it worked out. It was a little crowded and cozy. We were all in one packed space. So, I think they missed their home back at Fairlane, but I think we made it as accommodating for them as possible. We gave them a space of clinic with rooms. We kind of converted them into procedure rooms. And I think it was a smooth transition. They were, you know, we were already comfortable using the scopes. They just needed a space to do it. And we didn't have to wait to buy anything. So, I think we got through it together. And then that team, once the new space was developed, they were able to go back with new carpeting and drywall and all that and go back to their home. But I think it made that sort of period of displacement where they were kind of, you know, not homeless per se, but just stuck in a different clinic as easy as possible for them. And especially for those patients that had to travel to a different site.
And now you're back at Fairlane, up and running.
Yep. Full up and running. And we're still using, you know, I don't think we're going to unring the bell here. I mean, we've seen the advantages of the disposable scope. So, you know, that's kind of our go-to now as to what we're using.
Yeah, great. Dr. Rogers, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
My thanks to Dr. Craig Rogers. To learn much more from him and the flooding at his clinic, check out the in-depth feature at singleuseendoscopy.com written by our fantastic staff writer, Sean Grogan. We'll link to it in the show notes. And while you're on our website, be sure to subscribe to our weekly newsletters. Thanks as well, and as always, to Endoscopy Insights producer Andy Mueller. If you like what you're hearing, we'd love it if you'd subscribe to this podcast. You can do so anywhere you get your podcasts. Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, you name the platform and we're there. Until next time, be well.